Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, third hour, Tiki and Tierney. What's happening? Coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. I'm looking forward to this conversation. Really don't know which direction it's going to go. We know that North America, U.S., Canada, and Mexico, we have won the right to host the 2026 World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, this was about a decade-long chase. We obviously positioned ourselves as technologically superior, which is a big part of the reason we won the vote. It wasn't even close. I think it was 134-65. Mm-hmm. It was really against Morocco that came up before. There's a thought that we can, at least this is what we project, roughly $14 billion in revenue.
Yep, they could only do about five.
Which is amazing. So obviously appealing for many levels. And I think the other thing that I think is very important here is that from an infrastructure point of view, there's already like 14 stadiums that are already there and ready to or here. Yep. And also there in terms of Mexico and Canada, and only five or six that need some refurbishments and some enhancements. So it's appealing because it's outside of a couple of coats of paint, so to speak. There's not a whole lot to do.
No, and interestingly for us in the tri-state area, the final preliminarily is scheduled to be held at MetLife.
So which I can't stand.
It's going to be chaos.
I can't stand
it. It's going to be chaos. We better make it. You know what I mean? And there's an automatic qualifier.
Well, let me get this straight. So in 2026, we're going to play for the championship. Oh, you mean we have to? You mean make it for the championship or just make it?
Just make it.
To actually play and show up.
We're not even in the World Cup
this
year.
Oh, no, we're not.
Yeah, so we better make it to the tournament. Even though Sam Thurston told me there is an exemption that still is to the host city, but or the host country, but who do you give the exemption to if there's actually three countries that are the host country?
Well, Mexico's not going to need one. They're usually pretty potent.
Good point.
I can't speak to the Canadian soccer regime. I don't think it's very strong. I don't think it is. I could be completely off base with that.
I don't know. You never hear about it?
No.
I don't know.
So it's probably a flip of coin, us and them.
Yeah.
Although for this equation, and most, obviously Canada's great, where it's usually us, not them. All right. It's funny. As I've gotten older, you know, there was a thing, like, at one point I was all about, you know, and I still am about civic pride, mm-hmm. for sure, as long as I'm not inconvenienced. I mean, you just hit a point in your life, and it's about traffic patterns, it's logistics, it's about safety issues, mm-hmm. more specifically. We've gotten, you know, really, I didn't think about this in the 90s, certainly post 9/11, you think about it every day, or at least when something, you know, something conjures up an image of fear. And kind of reflection more so maybe than fear because we don't want to live in fear, but we certainly have to be aware as we are. I don't want this. It's a big hassle.
Why?
Dude, put it this way. If I was a billionaire, all right, and I could just leave, I'd come back when it's over.
Yeah, but not the beauty of this World Cup successful bid for North America is that it's not all in New York. It's not all in the Northeast.
But some of it's going to be here. Where do you live?
I live in New Jersey.
Where am I? Where do I live?
You live in New Jersey also.
How far do we live from MetLife Stadium?
Very
12
close.
Miles? 13 miles?
You're 12. I'm about 20.
You want to really deal with that?
Not really.
Exactly.
But it's only going to be two teams that are going to be playing in MetLife for the final. So, I mean, there'd be all around the world. I think there's 17 or so stadiums/arenas that they're thinking about or soccer stadiums they're talking about using for this. MetLife is obviously one. The Rose Bowl. Mercedes-Benz down in Atlanta, obviously Jerry World, FedEx Field in D.C. So there's a bunch of them that are across the country that they'll just use in the United States. And then there'll be some in Mexico and some in Canada. So it's going to be spread out, which is actually going to be very interesting because it is so spread out.
It is.
The World Cup
in
North America.
Uh-huh. Well, I think this, you know, and you said some of them. Now, I guess we have to cut from a list of 17 cities down to 10.
Yeah.
And you mentioned about, I don't think you mentioned Rose Bowl, did you?
I don't know if I did, but yeah.
I know you said Jerry's World. I heard you say Mercedes-Benz down in Atlanta. Obviously, MetLife in East Rutherford. The other cities vying for this, Baltimore, Boston, which would be Foxborough, Cincinnati, Denver, Houston, Kansas City, Miami, Nashville, Orlando, Philly, San Francisco, which is more specifically Santa Clara, Niners, of course, 40 miles outside of San Francisco, and Seattle and D.C. And the favorites among them to make the cut would be Washington, Boston, San Francisco, Philly, Miami, Seattle, and Houston. So there's a lot of, listen, if you're into the I guess the nuance of
Miami's
the Olympic.
Miami's got to make it, though.
What's that?
Miami's got to make it. Camping World Stadium down there because.
Yeah, it looks pretty good these days.
Well, it's
nice. It just looks totally different.
Well,
I like it.
They don't use it for anything much anymore, except for bowl games and some high school championships of that nature. But the soccer-loving community in South Florida, yeah. I mean, it's enormous.
I'm with
it's
you.
So Hispanic. They got to go to Orlando.
I think they will. But, you know. A deeper conversation. This is what really intrigues me here, because you know, if you're into this and the bid and you know the all the bullet points of the bid and the proposals, you can go find that on CBSSports.com. We don't need to just read the entire thing here, but let's close our eyes for a second without actually doing it, and let's just fast forward to 2026.
Okay,
all right, it's 2018 now. 2026, boom! It just dropped in our laps here. Here it is, World Cup.
8 years from now.
8 years from now.
Damn, I'm already 50.
Jeez, did you have to start it with that? Oh, God. All right. So, and we'll have the same handicap, too.
Yeah.
We'll still be
hacks. Yeah,
we'll still be hacks, brother.
My son will be 2 years out of college.
Wow. Oh, my God. All right, now you're going to start opening up to this part of the brain. We won't do that. So, in 2026, LeBron will be finished.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be done. And I'm quite confident that there are a multitude of young stars ready to take that baton. And but, keep in mind, from Jordan to LeBron, there was a little downpick. I know we had Iverson. Yeah. I know we had McGrady. I know we had Vince Carter, but it wasn't quite the same.
Yeah, they were
down period.
There were some greats, right? But they weren't goats.
A little down period, a palpable down period,
yes.
Kind of viewed as maybe the biggest down period in NBA history. Pre-Magic and Bird saving the league from being, you know, riddled with cocaine and drug issues. So the NBA could be dramatically different. Chances are it might not be, but it could be, right? Baseball, I think baseball will be fine. The infusion of young talent's incredible. Football. Now, let's just imagine a world in 2026. If we keep going down this path, concussions, head trauma, lawsuits, disconnect between players and law enforcement and messages and patriotic stances and what's not patriotic and what's divisive and what's not and blurred messages and vitriol and emotion and all this stuff that has become a maelstrom of controversy.
Yeah.
Do you think that we ever get to a point, specifically in 2026, where the sport of soccer domestically here jumps up and can push aside either baseball, basketball, football, and have a greater imprint on the sporting landscape?
The World Cup, specifically in short term, I would say yes. Because think about this, BT, right? When we talk about these sports and the popularity of them, what we're talking about is, are people watching them? But I'm going to think of it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Would you actually go, right? So in baseball, do people actually want to go to 162 baseball games?
No, but they love the WBC, which is kind of the equivalent to the World
Cup.
True, just
true.
To try to
give
you.
But we're talking about MLB right now, because it's MLB, NBA, etc. So are you going to a random baseball game?
I mean, I did for a long time. Yeah. My life is very different.
But nowadays,
my answer is no.
Yeah, so no.
Now, no.
Are you going to a random basketball game unless a superstar is playing? Say that there is this void.
Every answer for me is no.
Yes, it's going to be no.
Because when I'm not working, I'm home.
Are you going to go to a football game? Maybe.
I'm working on Sundays.
But that would be the one maybe. But
I'd get out with my buddies. I'd go to a couple Jets games.
But I think even less so than it used to be, though. Remember that you remember this, BT. Jets and Giants. You couldn't get a seat.
I had season tickets.
I know.
They weren't in my name,
but
I went
for
4 straight
years. You couldn't get a seat. It was nowadays, you can walk up day of and
get a seat
anywhere. And it's not always full.
I couldn't wait to pull into that parking lot at 9 a.m. on Sundays and tailgate.
So
it was like a holiday.
What's the other one? Hockey.
Hockey.
I mean, hockey's different because it's such a great.
Many years we keep saying hockey's different, and like that's how we position.
No.
We
but I mean, going to a hockey game
is
fantastic. But I agree. I don't know what the attendance is for hockey during the regular season this year. But
I think it's pretty damn strong in most markets.
I think it has been strong. So hockey is the one that we're saying it's probably going the right way. All the other ones are trending the other way. Now you throw the World Cup in.
But I don't know that baseball's trending the wrong way. I don't.
I'm not talking about popularity. I'm talking about people
in the seats.
Putting your ass in a seat.
I don't think that it's trending the wrong way. I don't.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty positive.
I mean, maybe in certain parts of the country.
The rig is filled. Yankee Stadium's filled. AT&T's filled. You know, Fenway Park is filled. Now, there's also the Cincinnati Reds and the Orioles and some eyesores that
aren't
nobody's
filled
there.
Every night. I mean,
they get 35.
It gets interesting. Well, and again, it's very interesting for the Yankee fan right now because you're going there, you're going to watch 16 home runs and dying.
It's fun.
You know what I mean? So it's fun. But in 8 years, is it going to be that?
No, there was a discernible drop off when Jeter and they started to erode.
So, just to jump in real quick for this baseball conversation. So back in 2010, for example, there were five teams that had over 90% capacity, three teams over 100% capacity.
Baseball, you said.
In baseball, on average.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This year, the highest team is St. Louis at 94% capacity.
Wow. Yeah. Right, so it's trended the wrong way.
8 years ago,
But that doesn't mean now you'd have to go deeper just because there's no 100%.
So, like the Marlins, for example, are at 26%, 27%.
Well, you forget about that.
And Tampa, 40%. White Sox, 40%. In 2010, the lowest was 40%. So,
but what about the median? The median can still be greater. You're going to have some great ones, some terrible ones.
Yeah.
I think the answer really lies in the middle, Mike. For every sport, that's where you're going to get your answer.
But my,
it's pretty obvious that, I mean, I don't have the exact full, but I mean, as I'm looking at this from the eye test, 16 in 2010 was at 60%. Or no, this year is at 60%.
Yep.
And 16 is like 66%.
Yeah.
So, like, even in the middle, everything is just higher now or then than it was
but
then.
But it's significantly less than capacity.
Significantly less. Yes.
Context, though. And I do think this is an important. Maybe this doesn't change the equation, but at least the context of this year, the weather was horrific for the first 2 months of this baseball season.
True.
Wrigley Field had empty seats.
You're right.
I'd like to check back in a month or so and kind of reset that. Maybe that is the trend.
My point to this little path we're going down is – when the World Cup comes to any of the 10 of the 17 that we just mentioned and the ones in Canada, the games in Mexico as well, what's the capacity going to be?
There's not
going to
be a seat available.
Exactly.
But it's an event that's – it's not a daily occurrence.
I know.
So you can – it's –
I just, but I'm
it's
just
like the
saying,
Super Bowl once every couple of years.
Yeah, but it's not the Super Bowl. It's 32 teams. You know
but
what I mean?
But it's the World Super Bowl.
I agree, but it's 32 teams playing across the continent. I mean, it's a big deal. So the question is soccer passing these other sports?
Domestically.
Yes, domestically.
That's just to get specific
Would you go to one of these games?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, I would too. I would as well.
We hosted a party. What was that, 08, 09? What was it, World Cup? Hold on. 08, and MetGen. That's not going to do chronologically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it was 09. It was 09, I think.
I can't remember now when
it was.
I think
it was 09. We hosted a World Cup party. We watched it.
Yeah, it was the women. When was that?
Yeah, I think it was 09.
Was it 04?
No. This was definitely 09 because we lived in Hoboken. Because I remember when I met Jen in 08 and it was 09, I remember.
You get excited about it.
We had people over. We had a party.
Until soccer.
But then I didn't watch a soccer game until the next World Cup.
But see, that was – I wonder what lessons were learned.
None.
Right? What lessons were learned because the women were amazing. You know what I mean?
They
were amazing when they during that World Cup, and we didn't capitalize, or at least the soccer loving part of this country didn't capitalize on this popularity. Maybe that's because there wasn't a vehicle to capitalize on it, right? The MLS wasn't robust enough. I don't even think there was is there a women's soccer league, professional soccer league? I'm not sure if there was one at all. But the point is, there was no way to capitalize on it. So the lesson is when the World Cup comes in 8 years from now, they better be ready to capitalize upon it, or at least find a way to capitalize upon it and let the momentum, which comes in droves when it's here, keep building.
But how? That is very easy to utter into a microphone, very hard to actually apply.
Well, the answer is actually pretty easy. It's money. You have to get money, and you have to start bringing the star talent. Like the David Beckhams of the world, but before they're washed up and go garner half the team out in Los Angeles. Yeah. Like bring those guys here. Yeah. Like money has to come into soccer, professional soccer in this country, because just like with football in NFL Europe, you know you're watching an inferior product. You're not drawn to it. But if you're watching a superior talent and superior product in the States, people will go, right? They'll go for the stars, but the stars aren't here. the stars are international.
I don't doubt that. I mean, listen, Pele was here in the 70s with the Cosmos. Mm-hmm. Giorgio Canalia was here when the Cosmos were really big and we were kids.
Yeah, right when it started, right around the time it started.
78-ish, yeah, maybe, 79, something like that. They were at that giant stadium. Mm-hmm. Listen, I just don't know. We have this conversation every couple of years.
Yeah.
And this is not to denounce the popularity mm-hmm. or to stifle the momentum and the movement of the sport. It's growing and it's strong. But I want to know, and by all means, call me and educate me at 855-212-4227 to continue to grow. Eventually, it's got to bump a big sport aside.
Yeah.
And not like, you know, and no disrespect to tennis or UFC or golf. You want to play with the big boys? You want to really swim? Push soccer, push hockey away forever. Make baseball become a secondary figure. Somebody going to tell me with a clear mind that soccer is going to do that? No, it's not. No, it's not. I mean, I just don't think it is.
Not in 2018, but maybe in 2026.
I still don't think it is. I really don't. 855-212-4227. Good stuff. Let's get some reaction on this. We'll get the calls going. Really curious which way you go on this, and we'll get your calls coming up next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Men, if you're ready to reduce the gray in your hair, go with the smartest product available. Experience Control GX from Just For Men, the first shampoo with a brain. Now, what makes it so smart? Well, it reduces gray the same way it grows in, gradually. The more you shampoo with Control GX, the less gray you have. Just use it until you like what you see. Now, how smart is that? Smart enough to be voted Men's Hair Care Product of the Year. Gradually reduce gray with the first shampoo with a brain. Find Control GX in the shave aisle.
Okay, so we keep asking the question, and it comes up every couple of years. When will soccer carve out a more meaningful, more palpable, more mainstream?
Mm-hmm.
Because that dilutes it too much.
Yeah.
Because I know it's palpable. And the globalization of the game is
it's ridiculous. Television now. You see it everywhere.
Everywhere.
FS1. I mean, everywhere it's available. And it's Facebook's now doing a partnership mm-hmm. with FIFA. I mean, it's everywhere.
There's no doubt. But mainstream. And when I say mainstream, maybe this is just my view. But mm-hmm. like mainstream to me encompasses your daily talk radio topics. Your daily television debate show topics. And, I mean, that's kind of sets the tone for most discussions in sport.
Yeah.
And until you infiltrate that, I'm just not so sure how you have that. That's why I use the word mainstream rather than palpable, because it is obviously palpable. A mainstream presence. I don't know how you have one if you never permeate that discussion.
Yeah, there's the big four, MLB, NFL, NBA, and
even
NHL.
Baseball doesn't really hit it that much.
I agree. I mean, unless you go to baseball-specific channels, but you can do that with any sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Soccer has its own specific channel.
No doubt. So does NHL. I mean, they all do at this point. Golf, I watch Golf Channel all the time. Get some calls, see what's up.
Yeah.
All right, let's get Jake is in Myrtle Beach, which, by the way, just got a college football bowl game.
I saw that.
Myrtle Beach.
How many are there, Samter? 65?
How many?
65% of college.
I think there's 43 bowls and 65%.
65% of college teams will play in a bowl game.
Insane.
And
what's up?
Two will be in Myrtle Beach.
That's awesome. Two in Myrtle Beach?
Well, two teams.
Oh, two teams. Just one game. Jake, what's up, buddy? How are you?
What's going on, guys? First time, long time. Most insightful show on the radio.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, man. My stance, in regards to the soccer issue, as I was telling your guy there on the phone, in the last 10 years since I've been in a conscious, aware adult, right?
Yeah.
I feel like every sport, especially the big three here in America, they put rules in place. The emphasis has been on more scoring, higher scoring games.
Great point.
In all sports. Soccer, you watch 90 minutes, better part of 2 hours, watch a tie 0-0 or 1-0.
And that's considered a great game.
Lines, man, I think it's a big hurdle.
And that's considered a great game, Jake. You know what I mean? In soccer parlance, 0-0 is fantastic.
But also same in baseball. I mean, you could watch Clayton Kershaw go against, Corey Kluber in an interleague game, and mm-hmm. it could be 2-1 or 1-0, and you have the same equation as you have in soccer.
True.
Depends what you're looking for.
True, but you're watching excellence while that happens.
Usually, but the soccer fan would argue that you're watching excellence in the fact that you're not allowing goals, and there's a defensive mechanism, whatever verbiage you want to use to attach to soccer excellence, that Same. Really, it's the same in hockey.
I watch soccer every now and then. I don't, and you can call it a great defensive game. You hear that sometimes. I have no idea what they're saying. You know what I mean? They're like, "Oh, it's a great defense of the cross." And like, okay.
I do like the passes though. Because that's got a little basketball element.
But
to
I want
to.
I want to see
cross pitch.
But I want to see the finish. Right. Yeah, I don't want to see the defense of a great cross. I want to see the culmination of a ball hitting back of net of a great cross.
Yeah.
So I don't appreciate defense in soccer.
Neither do
Whereas I do appreciate defense in football. I don't appreciate defense in soccer.
I got you. That makes sense. Shane is in Ohio, and Shane is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Shane, what's happening, buddy?
What's happening, fellas? How we doing?
We are good,
man.
How are you,
Shane?
Good, man. Long time no talk.
Yeah.
But, big fan here. Thank you.
Hey, I'm just going to say this. Where I live in Northwest Ohio, and I live in Perrysburg, which is a suburb of Toledo, and soccer is just enormous here. It's major. There's
bigger than football?
Fields everywhere.
Bigger than football? Bigger than football?
Bigger than football, I would say, with the youth.
Yeah.
Because I coach my son's flag football team, and there's way more kids that play soccer. There's kids that were playing soccer that would show up late to practices because of soccer and games.
Wow.
Okay. And a lot of these parents, I think, I don't know if soccer's ready to overtake any of the big sports in the United States because obviously it's a way huger sport in Europe and other countries, South America, places of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that a lot of parents are afraid of their kids getting concussed playing a sport like football, as opposed to soccer.
Yeah,
so
I think a lot of parents wait from that. Yeah, they're seeing a lot of parents wait to put their kids in the football, and it really becomes dependent upon, man, is my kid big enough?
Yeah,
right? is he bigger than his classmates? Okay, now you can go play football. If not, a lot of parents don't want to see him out there.
I think it has a lot to do with the fact that these parents, I don't know, it's weird. My son's playing baseball for the first time this season.
Nice. Attaboy, Shane. Keep that going, buddy.
Attaboy. He's a lefty, man. He's a
nice.
Beast. I'm so impressed after how fast he has grasped the game. It's
how old is
he? I'm out chucking the football around with him, but like I don't have a baseball mitt. Baseball was not my thing.
Yeah. Okay.
And
send him over to Uncle B. I'll get him straight. I'll get him going.
I'll holler at you, but I just think a lot of these parents deter their kids from doing these things for the simple fact that they're afraid, and rightfully so. My good friend was a head football coach at the high school level, and these coaches that coach in these youth leagues aren't teaching proper techniques, so the kids are getting hurt.
That's the hard part about it, Shane.
Thanks,
you're right. It's
I feel like it's far more regulated. Back when we were growing up, anybody with a whistle and a pair of bike shorts.
It is now.
Remember those bike shorts?
Yeah.
I know you remember them from the coaches in
NFL. Little League might still have some of those faults in it, but as you take some steps up, it is getting much more, specific.
More
to
vigilant
how,
in how they comb through who they allow to coach. Yeah, no, exactly. That's definitely been that's a strong movement and a very important one. The one thing that I would add, and maybe this, and nobody said it yet, we took a few calls here already. Maybe the answer lies in this, that and we're not there yet, but the changing demographic of our country.
Oh, of course.
You want to talk to when there's actually like a real discernible shift in what sport is the pecking order of sporting interest in our country? You know, maybe in 20 years as, you know, even more bloodlines and family trees are, you know, just get a little deeper along
path. You're right. You think
big
about
part of it.
And I was just mentioning, we mentioned the South Florida before. I mean, the Dolphins haven't been good. Baseball stinks down there, right? And the demographic, as you mentioned, is shifting because it's South American, it's Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
They love soccer.
But they love baseball, too, and they don't go.
Yes, true.
And they don't go.
It's because the team stinks.
And they've also been burned a few times.
Yeah.
They win a World Series, dismantled.
Dude,
they've been the runaround a little bit.
They despise the owner.
They do.
They despise them. And now it's different with Jeter and crew down there, but still.
I don't think they're too enthused with Jeter either.
Exactly.
They gave Giancarlo Stanton his old, and they got rid of Yelich. They got rid of a bunch of studs. Oh, man. Let's get Mike real quick. Mike is here in New York City. Mike is on Tiki and Tierney. Mike, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
I love the show.
Thanks, Mike.
Listen, a caller about three calls ago stole my thunder, but just give me like 45 seconds to expound
on it.
You
make sense, and we'll give you 45. If not, you get bounced.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Right now in the United States. All right, let's take in the order of popularity. The NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we all agree that the NFL has made the offenses more predominant and makes it tougher for defenses to play good against good offenses, correct?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. If you look at the NBA now you have you have your top five offensive teams in the NBA, most notably the Cavaliers and the Warriors, and Houston shoot more three-pointers for more offense than they do two-point goals.
You're right. You're right.
If you
it's
look
fair.
At the NHL years ago eliminated the regular overtime and made it four-on-four so they would get more goals. Yeah. If you look at baseball now has metrics which rewards launch angle and velocity. And guys, and Tiki, you said this, man, and you know it was true. The game of soccer does not translate to TV and to the consumer that has the attention span of a gnat right now. And that's really where we're at. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, you got it, Mike. But baseball's pretty slow moving as well. It's kind of like a drip coming out of the faucet.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to love baseball to really stick with it for a couple
of
hours straight. There's no doubt. I don't know that you get that great constant flow of action in baseball. You'll get intermittent pockets of real action, like a ball in the gap or a plate to plate or a double play or something like that, or you know, guy legging out a triple. But you know, it's a lot of moments of nothing.
To me, soccer falls in line with hockey in a sense, right? Because it's not a ton of scoring all the time, but there's the anticipation that it's about to happen. You know what I mean?
In soccer.
Well, it's in hockey too.
Yeah.
Right? You say, oh, here it comes, or you got a man advantage, or whatever it may be. There's like this anticipation that a goal is about to happen, and it keeps you like, oh, it's gonna. Soccer's that way, but it often doesn't happen at all. Mm. In hockey, you're gonna see goals. You know what I mean?
Oh, you look at the paper or websites the next day, 6-3, 7-2, 5-1.
Soccer doesn't end up that way.
You don't get that.
It doesn't end up that way. There's much more failure, offensive failure in soccer than there is in any other sport, which makes it hard.
Mm. Mm. Hard for us, but not hard for the rest of the world.
Right, because they grow up appreciating defense.
That's true. Hey, T, tomorrow night at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific, the globe's mightiest men muscle up and push themselves to their physical limits while testing their mental toughness. How come we didn't get invites to this? Oh, that's right, because I can't do anything right now with my back. Tune in to see who's going to be one step closer to becoming the 2018 Taachi Palace World's Strongest Man right here on CBS Sports Network. Okay, we'll do a little baseball coming up. Great job on the calls, and hopefully we'll have time to get a few more. We see you sitting there. If not, if you don't want to call, if you're not inclined to call, you want to get a thought out, get us on Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney directly. We might even hit you back, so feel free to tweet us. But we'll definitely get Kevin Millar from MLB Network coming up next. See what's cooking on the diamond after Axe Update, which is right now. Here's Rich. All right, we'll do a little baseball here in a second. Kevin Millar, MLB Network, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. First up, Tiki, let's bang out Ask the Pros as we do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday as we answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Dan Jensen at DJENOT. All right, so Danny wants to know, if Paul George re-signs in Oklahoma City, he's not going to, and doesn't end up going to L.A., he will, does LeBron still go there? So let's work for a second. Let's pretend Dan's right. Let's say if Paul George doesn't re-sign at Oklahoma City, if he does re-sign at OKC and doesn't go to L.A., does LeBron still go and play for the Lakers?
I think if he can bring
CP3.
Boom. Or maybe even Boogie, like you mentioned yesterday.
Load them all. Bring them all.
Yeah, maybe.
Bring them all.
I think there's still a chance if Paul George doesn't go, is the short answer to the question.
I don't see how Paul George doesn't go to Lakers. He grew up there. He's always had an affinity for that team. It seems like he always wanted to make that move. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, do you want to play with Carmelo another year who can't move?
No.
I mean, he's just a lifeless chucker at this point.
Yeah.
Like in terms of
he's stuck.
There's no physical. Yeah.
Carmelo's all. He's got to opt in and he's not going anywhere else.
Exactly. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, Teak, very interesting times in baseball. We like to do this, every couple of weeks, certainly take the temperature nationally, see what's happening on the baseball scene. And MLB Network always takes care of us. And today they hook us up with Kevin Millar. And, as my seat falls again. All right, we got to fix this. This is like the third time this has happened in 2 days. Kevin Millar, Tiki and Tierney, how are you today, buddy? Well, I'm at the little table on Thanksgiving. I know you can't see me, but it looks ridiculous. What's up, buddy?
Your voice went down, so I knew that the mic had to go up, and then you went down. I can visualize it. That's happened to me a million times.
And it's not bad enough to have microdiscectomy surgery coming up on Friday. So, I mean, please, if there's ever a time I need my seat to be stable, it's these next couple of days, you know? What's going on, man? You good?
We're doing good. It's hot in here in Austin, Texas. I'm going to tell you that. We just bypassed the fall. We went straight from winter to the summer. So,
Yeah, it's hot.
Is that where you live?
Yeah, Austin, right here.
That's
beautiful, Austin.
That's a beautiful
town.
Right
in the middle of the Astros and the Rangers.
Yeah, that's a beautiful town. So let me ask you this. I think one thing that's going to have – it's gained a little local traction, but I think nationally it's going to probably generate some more. The New York Mets are pathetic. There's no need to mince words. They're just awful. And I believe, Kevin, that the only way that they can accelerate a rebuild, they've got no athletes in the system. Their minor league system stinks as well. I really think that they need to sincerely entertain trading DeGrom and or Syndergaard. And even if that includes striking a deal with the Yankees, which I know they really don't want to do, whatever it takes, they got to get some prospects. If you're running the Mets, would you make that move? What would you do?
No, I wouldn't. I know what you're thinking. Let me just tell you why.
Okay.
Because you can't find a Jacob DeGrom to get back. Mm. See, like, he's affordable. People think, like, oh, we're just going to go, trade Jacob DeGrom. Who would you trade to the New York Yankees? Or if you're the Yankees, for Jacob DeGrom?
Clint Frazier. I mean, I'm throwing three or four big time. Miguel Andujar.
Torres.
Torres. Yeah. No, not Torres.
But think about it. I wouldn't even make it with Torres.
Wow.
You got a guy over here's last 10 starts. He's got a .87 ERA, and he's 2-8. The team is during that time. The Jacob DeGroms don't come around too often, and he's affordable. He's not a free agent next year. This kid signed for the next couple of years, and he's affordable. So when you're talking about it, everybody's available at some point, but there has to be somebody that you can't miss on. Like, there has to be a Mike Trout. There's not Gleyber Torres. We've only seen 2.5 months worth. He's got 11 homers. God bless him. But I mean, he's also capable of hitting .228 with four the second half.
Sure.
DeGrom, you know, there's only a handful of these that come around. And I'm sorry, I just sit back and go, yeah, he's available, but let me see the packages. And the packages are going to start with a ton.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense the way you explained it way.
I still disagree, but respectfully.
Kevin, let's move to the other coast, and let's talk about the Seattle Mariners. We all saw when Robinson Cano, gets his 80-game suspension. It's like doom and gloom out there. But somehow, they've actually risen to the top of the division. They've won 8 of their last 10. D. Gordon had to go from center back to second base.
He's balling.
I mean, what changed? Maybe it was just a perception thing and an urgency thing, but what changed for them that has them playing so well?
They have won a ton of one-run games. Hmm. They have played in a ton of two-run or less games, and they're winning the close games. That's the difference of where they're at right now. So it's not like everybody's, oh, see, Robinson Cano, they're a better team. No. And when he comes back, he's going to play every single inning of every single game. He's going to hit third because he's one of the best left-handers still in the game. Now, if they're trying to get to the postseason, which they are, he's not the second baseman in the postseason. So D. Gordon will play some second base. They'll mix it up, Robinson will DH and put D at second and back in center field, and Robinson goes second base. But let's not forget, he's owed a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he's paid a lot of money. The suspension's a bummer for him, no doubt about it. But when he comes back, Robinson will be playing. It makes him a better team to get to the postseason. This is not going to end June 13th. But they have played good baseball in one-run games, and that's the difference.
We're talking to Ken Millar, good player back in the day, won the championship with the Red Sox in 04, great clubhouse guy, terrific on TV, great personality, love talking shop with him. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Okay, Miguel Cabrera, I mean, boy, it didn't look like that awkward of a swing. I know he was out in front and fooled a little bit. I don't know if it was a slider or a changeup, whatever, but one of the best righty hitters of any generation is out for the rest of the year. At that age and that body type and that wear and tear on his body, any concerns that he comes back full strength? Is his career in jeopardy?
Yeah, it's always, as you grow older, right, the bat speed's going down, the body's been breaking down up to, since before 2015, he's never seen the DL. Since 2015, it's been about four or five different times now with calves and foot and surgery for bone spurs this offseason. So now I was bummed out. I love some Miguel Cabrera. I know the contract at the back end is going to get really, really painful, like they all do when you sign big-time deals. That's okay. You're paying a player for what he's done. That's why he's making the money. And then, it's not the player's fault. But 35 years old, tore his bicep, it's a bummer. It's a bummer for the Tigers. It's a bummer for Ron Gardenhire. It's a bummer for all involved because Miguel Cabrera, you gravitate to him. There's no ego, and he's just a sweet time. It's fun with the kids. So it's just a bummer.
Yeah, put you in a GM or head coach or head doctor. Put all those hats on right now. If you are the one making the decision.
Got to take his cowboy hat off first, though,
to put it on. Yeah, exactly. Take the cowboy hat off. You can leave the boots on, though. And you have to make a decision on Shohei Ohtani. What do you do? How do you handle it?
Oh.
Yeah, what's crazy about this one is because does he make my team better with his bat in the lineup every single day?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If we're going to not have surgery, we have an option to not have surgery. We're going to add these platelets and try this therapy. But swinging a baseball bat doesn't hurt or bother his throwing arm. Why don't I now put him in the middle of that lineup like we've all wanted to see? Because he was only kind of playing like a day or two in a row. Then you have, remember, a day or two off before a start. Then a day after a start, he wouldn't play. So why not give the kid 500 plate appearances all the way through during this platelet thing?
Wow.
Since he's a two-way player, and we all haven't seen that, and it's unique. Let's not, you know, it's not hurting him, and we're not going to do the surgery, so let's let him roll the pole a little bit and see if he can drive in about 85 from here on out.
Yeah, it's interesting because you say that. Now, the question, and I don't know this because I didn't play baseball, and obviously we don't see two-way players like this ever. How much of his stuff goes away if he doesn't pitch for, I don't know, say 8 months or maybe even a year, right? Does it change? Do you lose that? Can he come back to where he was if he does heal up correctly and doesn't have to have Tommy John surgery?
Yeah, it was funny because in spring training, the world was like, he's 2-for-30 and he can't hit. And he's this bat, he's long, he's this and that. And then all of a sudden, he's pitching at over 9 or 10 ERA. And it's, oh, my God. Guys, it's practice. We're talking about practice.
Yeah.
We're talking about 30 at-bats in a month during spring training. And it's nothing, right? That's 1 week during the year. So then he comes on the scene and he was like, the biggest talk of all, we've never seen anything like this. Forkball was devastating. Guys were 0-for-35 off his split finger at some point. His fastball was 100 miles an hour. We're like, oh, my God, he's better than what we thought. And then he goes out and he's hitting 350 the first few weeks. So I think he's a unique player, and I don't think his stuff goes away, no. I think an injury stinks. His arm, you know, we're hoping he don't have Tommy John. We don't want to not see him for the next 18 months.
Yeah.
I can't stand Tommy John surgeries. I don't know when they started becoming cool, what happened before the Tommy John surgeries, but it seems like everybody has a Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, no.
That being said, let him hit. Let him hit, play him. If they're doing these platelet things, if I don't think they're having surgery, they've already opted. They're not doing it right now. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I would love to see him in the batter's box 7 days a week.
I like it. I like it, Millar. Attaboy.
And if you have the decision, you'll make it. And you can be a decision maker because you're a big timer now. You have your own promotion code, Millar, for SeatGeek.com. Tell us a little bit about this.
SeatGeek, man, it's a great app. I have the app. It's fun. It guarantees you great seats. You have a view from your seats. You can go on there and get any single sporting event you want, entertainment event. When people come into Austin for music-wise, it's great. You can see kind of who's coming in. Okay, June 28th, you got Willie Nelson or whoever you got coming in. So I love the app. It's an easy app to work. It lets you know good deals and bad deals, which is awesome also. And like you said, if you type in Millar, we'll give you $20 off your first purchase. But tremendous, tremendous, easy working app. Get it on your devices if you don't have it.
Nice. We see where your mind is. Willie Nelson.
I love it.
There's Willie playing. It is estate legal.
He's got a couple great books. Willie Nelson has a great line. He's actually two lines. He says, when you play golf, spend more time looking up at the sky than looking down at your feet when you're miserable after a bad shot. Really sage advice. And the other thing he says, and anytime you go in the weeds to find your ball, smoke something while you're looking for it. That's what he says, Millar. Oh, man.
Willie Nelson, and he's doing great still, about 90.
Yeah, he's doing all right. And I'm sure a few people, I'm going to the Journey Def Leppard concert tonight with my wife over at the Garden. I'm sure a few SeatGeek users will be there. Hey, 30 seconds. Yeah, it's a good one, right?
Great one right there.
I'm
when
psyched.
We make love.
Do you look in the mirror? I hear you. All right, listen, 30 seconds. We got to bounce and end the show. You got to go as well. Bryce Harper, characterized as a spineless, gutless, unnamed GM
anonymous,
or whatever,
yeah.
Unanimous or anonymous, personnel person. Call them a losing player. Your take on that. How do you react to that?
I thought it was tired. I thought it was a haterish type statement. So if you're not going to put your name on it, period, end of story, because it's an opinion of somebody that's not – if you feel that strong about Bryce Harper, can we get your name?
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. So when we hear that, you got to address it. Like, what do you think? It's a false statement because since Bryce Harper's been with the Nationals, they have the highest winning percentage since 2012.
Yeah.
They are like 139 games over 500, which is the best in all of baseball, whatever the exact number is. So that doesn't make sense. So when you bring out those harsh statements like that anonymously,
yep,
you better put your name to it, and you better go back and do your math.
Mm-hmm.
Is Bryce the perfect teammate? Are people jealous of Bryce because he's rich and he's good-looking and he's great at what he's doing and he's promoted to the Gatorade? And that's part of what society is about. We all want to, like, get bitter. But I thought it was tired because we don't even know who said it.
I'm with you, man.
I totally
agree. All right, Kevin. Thanks a lot, buddy. We will talk to you down the road, no doubt.
All right, boys. Thanks a lot.
Be good, Kevin.
Always a pleasure. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. A lot of good calls today as well. 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Ooh-ta-gleep-ta-glop-ta-globin. All right. I got something to say. Bow-wow.
Have fun.
Better to burn it.
Have fun, BT.
Thank you, brother man. See you tomorrow.
Thank you, LiveNation.com, for making BT and Jen very happy tonight.
Love you. See you tomorrow. Peace.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.